providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In these final two segments, we are joined by Christopher Aaron, founder of iGold Advisor and senior editor of Gold Eagle. We're going to be focusing on the precious metals, as we usually do with Christopher, and focusing on a bit more of the charts. Now, Christopher, we've been having you back on about every month or two, following along with your calls for the precious metals market. We've also looked and compared how precious metals have been moving compared to U.S. markets. I really enjoy your technical analysis, and that's really where I want to stick to. We can talk all we want about Fed policy, economic data, but quite frankly, let's focus on the charts here. And the first thing I need to ask you when it comes to gold, as we are recording this on Wednesday, so gold is, again, right around that $2,000 level, pretty much where it has been all month. We get a lot of emails asking, look, I'm hearing a lot from at least the gold community saying that gold is about to break out and it could get explosive to the upside. Just to simplify it for you here, Christopher, do you think gold's going to break out? And on the back end of that, do you think it's going to hold that breakout?
Yeah, thanks, Corey and Shad, for having me back on. Let's dive into this. I love to talk about the charts here, especially with the precious metals. I will never use the word guarantee in my analysis because that's just irresponsible. However, this is the most sure that I have ever been in recent memory of a move that is coming up in the precious metals markets. And that move is that gold is, in fact, gearing up to break out to new all-time highs. What we've seen here over the last 3 years has been basically a rectangular consolidation with a false breakdown for a couple of weeks in Q4 of last year. There have been, functionally speaking, three attempts at this all-time high resistance zone, which is in a range of approximately 2050 to 2075 using spot prices. Triple tops really don't exist in technical analysis. Long-term triple tops really do not exist. You can have intermediate term triple tops. And in fact, most times the third attempt by a market to break out to new all-time highs is in fact not successful. So, you know, I've been alerting my subscribers here for the last few weeks that gold will probably not break out right here, right now. But since triple tops really don't exist as long-term topping patterns, when you see a third attempt like this, it's telling you that a market is gearing up for a successful breakout. Typically, it's attempt number four. Sometimes there's like a mini four that then leads into a five. And I'm just looking at the weekly price data here. And I have to tell you, gold is in just a fantastic position to be breaking out to new all-time highs. My best expectation is actually that it's going to be more like mid-summer, actually probably late June into July. What I'm noticing right now is that after the third attempt, which we just saw a few weeks ago, the weekly lows, if you look at weekly candlesticks, the weekly lows just keep coming up. There's someone in there who has a buy program, and they're stepping up their weekly purchases by about $5 to $7 here every 1 to 2 weeks. You know, you combine that with the analysis on the third attempt not being successful, and now we're kind of in this grind where there's a lot of doubters. This is very healthy psychological backdrop. You don't want everyone to be believing that it's going to break out. That would be a negative red flag. You add this all together, and I'll just say once again, this is the most sure that I could be that a market is getting ready to break out to new all-time highs within the intermediate future.
Well, Christopher, I think that people listening will probably be encouraged to hear that. And it does seem like you're in good company. There's a lot of people expecting that breakout. But I think one thing we had discussed before we started recording, and you mentioned there in your initial answer, was this rectangular correction and consolidation that we've seen the last 3 years. You have some models on how that will extend to the upside after we get the breakout. I'd love you to share that with folks. And do you think that it would, you know, get to that level and consolidate there for another leg higher? Or you know, what is your take on where this price could go coming out of this kind of a corrective pattern?
Yeah. So, and just to back off for 1 second, let's talk about what we discussed a little earlier, Shad, the possibility of this being a giant cup and handle pattern from the 2011 peak through the 2020 peak and where that leads us today. I'm seeing a lot of analysis out there describing this as a giant cup and handle pattern, which basically is just a chart formation that takes its name from a resemblance to a teacup with a handle on the end of it, if you can imagine the silhouette in that kind of way. And so the giant cup being from 2011 through 2020, and then this consolidation for the last 3 years being the handle. I do not agree with that analysis. I think that's a really erroneous analysis on the cup and handle, because what I see with that type of analysis is that analysts are using monthly closing price data to try to truncate the fact that gold has made three notably higher highs here over the last 3 years compared to the 2011 peak. You know, that 2011 peak, if we just want to talk about spot prices, was 1,921. And here over the last 3 years, we've seen two attempts at the 2,075 level. We're talking over $150 above the 2011 peak. And this most recent attempt was just below 2,050. So again, $130 above the 2011 peak. A cup and handle pattern should have roughly equivalent peaks forming the cup. They don't have to be exact to the exact dollar or the same $10. But I just said, you know, these peaks from 2020 through present have been over $150 higher than the 2011 peak, and not just once, on three separate occasions. That invalidates a cup and handle in my textbook. And the other sort of facet which shows that this is not a cup and handle on the big picture analysis is that the handle part of the formation has really been, Shad, as you said, a sideways consolidation over the last 3 years, with the one exception of the false breakdown that happened for a few weeks in Q4 of 2022, just late last year. It was, if you zoom in on the what is being labeled as a handle, I believe erroneously, there were 1, 2, 3, 4 support tests at the 1680 level going back to 2021, four separate tests, and then one violation in Q4 of 2022, followed by what is textbook perfect false breakdown type of reversal that we've seen. You know, gold moved higher from October of last year through this most recent peak by about $430 in 5 months. That is classic behavior after a market sees a false breakdown from a horizontal consolidation, not a handle type of consolidation as the cup and handle proponents are claiming. So I do not believe that this is a cup and handle pattern. That said, as we just discussed, it is a horizontal consolidation that has been going on over the last 3 years. There has been a false break down to the downside late last year, which then flips the chart into a bullish stance. False breakdowns tend to be preludes to strong moves in the opposite direction. You take the analysis of there really being no such thing as a long-term triple top, and then you start to say, okay, so you add it all together, this market is gearing up to break out to the upside. And then when we look at target projections, not being a cup and handle pattern, but still being a very healthy sideways consolidation, what we can do is take a measurement of the widest part of the horizontal consolidation, which in this case is $460, inclusive of the very bottom of that false breakdown late last year. And we can add that on to the breakout point. This is a fairly reliable way of measuring targets for horizontal consolidations, because you just have to remember, you know, we're not just looking at a line on a chart and pulling random figures out of the sky and, you know, and dropping, you know, points onto a map here. What we're doing is we're looking at how many short sellers exist in this consolidation that has been going on for the last 3 years. And you can measure the strength of those short sellers. And we're not only talking about speculators here, we're talking about hedgers. We're talking about, you know, bullion companies that are hedging their production. You know, we're talking about bullion banks, refineries, right? All these, and yes, manipulators too. Everyone who's trying to keep the price down, there's that amplitude of all that selling that came in there. And when you start getting new all-time highs, which is what this market is telling me is gearing up, we would expect all of those people who are now, by implication, underwater. I mean, once we get to a new all-time high, there will be zero short sellers left in this market who are not underwater. So they'll all be sitting on losses. And we expect these people to start sequentially covering their short positions, covering their hedge books. I would not be surprised to see mining companies come out saying, we're buying back our production that we sold short a few years ago. We're going to take the loss on the books. That is what is going to propel gold to an amplitude measurement equal to the widest part of this consolidation. $460 added onto the breakout point gives us a target of approximately $2,500. I would expect that within 12 months of the breakout.
All right, Christopher, all very bullish here, but I do need to ask you, on the other side of things, what could throw this on its head? What could change this just general bullish outlook here?
From a chart standpoint, the only thing that could show me that this is not going to resolve to the upside would be a second failure at that horizontal support of 1,680. If we were to see gold rounding over here, we talked about this being a third attempt that's been gearing up, probably not going to be successful, more likely the fourth or the fifth attempt. But as opposed to rounding up into a fourth and fifth successful breakout, let's say, if gold were to round down and once again fail at the 1680 level, then you don't have a false breakdown late last year. Then you have a legitimate breakdown. And then something has gone very, very wrong with this market. Something has gone very wrong with the analysis that I am presenting to you here. That's the single data point that could show me that this is not going to work out. And unfortunately, that's still about $300 below where we are today. So there's quite a lot of room for volatility before that would be decisive in my book.
Well, Christopher, thanks for sharing the downside thesis as well as the upside thesis. One other thing I think it'd be nice to unpack for folks is just what we were talking about earlier, and that is where this thing could extend to and would it keep going after this breakout? You gave us a target there of where that pattern could extend to. But you also mentioned to us before we started recording, there's a larger kind of five-wave pattern that you've been watching since the initial bottom, the major bottom, back at the end of 2015, and that we're getting ready to enter kind of a fifth leg of this, a fifth wave, if you will. Would you mind breaking that down and how you see this being kind of a pretty explosive period for the precious metals, but maybe more towards the end of the bull market?
Yeah, this is a forward-looking thought. You know, I don't want to get ahead of myself here because what I see happening here with the gear up to this breakout, as I said, gold looks very healthy right now. Every piece of data that I see is showing me that it is going to break upward here within the next several months. And then we talk about that target. The chain of immediate events that I see unfolding here is that as gold is breaking to new all-time highs, silver, which by the way, has just broken the downward structure that dates all the way back to the peaks in 2021. And so silver looks very good here. The gold to silver ratio has been compressing nicely in favor of silver here just over the last couple months. It really looks like the series of events that will unfold here is that as gold is breaking out to new all-time highs, silver is going to catch one of these bids that we witnessed. You can look at the 2020 example when silver rose $10 in four trading weeks. You can look at the 2010 example when silver tripled in price. It rose from 17 to almost 50 in just 8 months. It really looks like silver is getting ready to witness one of these bids that's going to be a violent reversion to the upside as gold is breaking out to new all-time highs. And what I expect is that then a lot of the mining companies that have lagged both metals here over really the last 6 to 7 years, I mean, basically with the exception of the 2016 surge and a few months in that 2020 surge, most of the mining companies have really lagged the metals. What I expect in this series of dominoes to fall, gold breaks new all-time highs, silver breaks the $30 level, and then basically above that, I mean, there will be a small pivot at roughly the 35 to 36 level, but I could see that being just kind of a multi-week pivot, and then silver blasting through that and ending up somewhere in the mid-40s, approaching that $50 level. The mining companies that have lagged, as we just discussed, should witness a tremendous revaluation as this series of events is unfolding. It's when I expect that all these years of underperformance and poor psychology in the markets will suddenly flip on its head as a lot of new investors approach this sector for the very first time, attracted to the mainstream headlines of what? Record gold prices, right? To get back to that question about what will come after this peak, I want to say once again, I think we have a tremendous opportunity first right here in front of us. And I'm really talking about the next 6 to 12, perhaps 18 months. This could be a major wealth creation event for investors who are positioned now and over just the next couple months before the reversion happens. So we want to capture as much of this as possible. At the same time, we want to be one step forward looking and kind of think to ourselves, even as we're preparing for move number one here, what will happen after that? After we get into gold mid-2000s, after we get silver approaching its 2011 peak level, after we get some sort of revaluation in the miners, will this end up being a more significant top after that point? And here's where I would say that at this moment, I am open to the possibility that, in fact, it will end up becoming a more significant top. There are some technical points that I'll be watching, especially with respect to the Dow to gold ratio and the gold to U.S. bond ratio, as well as the price action in the U.S. dollar, as gold is breaking out into that mid-2000 region, which I will be looking at that time to either confirm or deny the possibility of this of a longer-term top setting up in the sector. But I do think that as the metals are moving into those regions, investors should be open-minded to not consider that this may simply continue moving higher forever, but perhaps there's a significant profit-taking event again to happen 6, 12, 18 months from now. Because yes, Shad, as you said, the wave structure here in gold, especially when you talk about the move from the 2015 bottom at $1,045 per ounce, it has been carving out a very clear 5-wave structure. Wave one higher from the 2016 surge, a sideways wave two into 2019, powerful, impulsive wave three up to the new all-time highs in 2020, wave four being this horizontal consolidation we've been in for the last 3 years, and then a wave five to unfold. So let's capture as much of this wave five as we possibly can over the next 1 to 2 years, and let's keep our minds open and aware for the possibility that we should be taking chips off the table when this thing is unfolding.
Very interesting, Christopher. Let's tie in the gold stocks to all this then, because boy, oh boy, do we just keep on hearing how Gold stocks have underperformed gold during this move, during the last almost decade now. Does that change in this much more bullish outlook, this breakout for gold?
It should, and it should change quite quickly. We have seen hints of this just over the last 3 or 4 weeks. A lot of these companies doubled within a few days from their lows that were set just in March. But even the doubling from the lows gets them nowhere near the values that they were a few years ago, the values that they should be given today's metals prices. But I use that example of how quickly these things can double to suggest that investors should have the majority of their positions finalized now, because when we get the type of shift in psychology that would be reminiscent of a wave five, which is basically the final wave of the current cycle that we're in, that's when we would expect the mainstream investor to start piling on. You know, that's when we would expect someone who has never considered investing in precious metals before to say, hey, I have $10,000 to my name. I'm going to take half of that and invest $500 each into a basket of gold mining companies. And they're going to type in the word gold into Yahoo Finance, and they're going to throw money at anything with the word gold in it. And you multiply that out by a few million people that are watching for the first time ever on their Barron's subscription or their subscription to Financial Times. Hey, gold, new all-time highs. Silver looks to be the bargain. Silver still could move 50% higher to get to its all-time highs. Wow, maybe I'm going to throw some of that money into a basket of silver stocks. You multiply that type of wave five psychology out by millions of people around the world, and I propose to you that it will not give investors time to get on board once these moves actually start to unfold. It's extremely difficult to imagine this when you are in the grind. It seems like it'll never end. And it seems like, yeah, you'll notice when these things are taking off and you'll have time to double your position size. When it really happens in a wave five, you will not have an opportunity once it takes off. So embrace the boredom right now. Finalize the positions. Nothing is guaranteed in the world, except none of us are making it out of here alive. But this is the best setup that I've ever seen from a reward to risk standpoint in my many years of following the precious metals markets. So you step up here and you take a big swing, and then you can sleep soundly at night knowing you at least seized the chance at this opportunity here.
Well, Christopher, that's a pretty encouraging thought for precious metals investors that may have gotten a little beat up over the last 3 years, or maybe even over the last decade, waiting for this kind of an event to happen. But if people think back to the last time there was that big surge in 2010, 2011, there were days where the mining stocks were up double digits, only to be up double digits the next day. And if people were waiting, it is hard to get in and get caught up if you're out of position. Since you expect silver to break out so hard, and since you expect the mining stocks to do better, do you have any comparisons on something like GDX or GDXJ, or just the mining stocks, some kind of a proxy that you use as far as where they could extend to?
Yes. I mean, the GDX is a bellwether for the sector. Right now, the GDX should be back at its all-time highs at roughly the 67 level. It's currently trading at 33. So it's basically half of where it should be at today's metals prices. So if we think that there's a 100% reversion opportunity on the large caps itself, I know a lot of the junior companies would need to be more like 500 to 1,000% higher to get to historically normal valuations. We're talking based on the dollars per ounce of either proven and probable or measured and indicated resources that they have in the ground. GDX, I'm looking to get back above 67 and make a new high, new all-time high. I think when we're in the territory of new all-time highs for GDX, that's telling you that we're probably approaching the final innings of this wave five. As far as the SIL fund, a good bellwether for the silver mining fund, for the silver mining companies, currently trading at 29. All-time high was just above 92. So that is a more than a tripling in the average large cap silver miner that should occur as silver itself basically doubles from 25 to 50. And then a lot of the juniors, once again, will be up, you know, 500 to 1,000% in that period of time. But I would suggest that investors follow the GDX, looking for breaks to new all-time highs on the GDX and looking for breaks to new all-time highs on the Global X Silver Miners Fund, the SIL fund, as a bellwether for when this move may be entering its final innings.
All right, Christopher, we're wrapping it up here. Thank you again for sharing your thoughts, your take on the charts for all the precious metals, it seems like, or gold and silver, as well as the underlying stocks. I know a lot of people listening are really hoping that your take, your outlook here turns out to be true, because I think we're all sitting in a lot of these precious metals stocks, which many of them have done well in the last few months, but are still well off of their highs, as we're seeing gold, again, just consolidate right around that $2,000 level. We'll definitely follow up with you in the next couple months. Everybody, thank you for tuning in to this weekend show. Please keep in touch with Shad and I through email, and please go back through our website and podcast to listen to all the daily editorials that we recorded this week. Everyone, Christopher, I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you, gentlemen, for having me.